This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stachow. In 1998, Tori Merton McClure set out to become the first woman to row solo across the Atlantic Ocean. She rowed her 23-foot boat right into Hurricane Danielle. She was rescued and returned to Louisville, Kentucky to repair that boat, and in 1999, she tried again, and that time she did it. Her story is now the subject of a new musical called Row. Dawn Landis is a North Carolina-based singer-songwriter who wrote the music and the lyrics for that musical. The songs come out today on her album, Row, and Dawn joins us now on The State of Things. Welcome.
Thank you for having me, Frank. It's an honor.
Dawn, tell us more about Tori. I mean, she makes this incredible voyage in 99. This is after getting tossed head over heels. Her boat is battered to near ruin, and she's got a broken arm. I mean, my goodness, she could have and lost communication. That was in 98. What an incredible story. Was rescued, and then in 99 tries it again and does it. What was it like to meet her?
What was it like to meet her?
Yeah.
Well, it was actually, the first meeting was pretty crazy because I sang her two songs that I had written about her to her the first time I actually met her, which was a very out-of-body experience.
How did
having really immersed myself in her story and fallen in love with her memoir. Her memoir is called A Pearl in the Storm. And so we had to get her permission to start the whole project. So we got a meeting with her. She's the president of Spalding University now in Louisville, Kentucky. And so we went into her office and I brought my guitar and sang her some songs about herself.
When was it, at what point did you decide that you really needed to write a musical? Because you're a singer-songwriter, but you'd never really written music for the stage before, right?
That's right, yeah. Well, to be honest, it wasn't my idea. I ran into a friend, Danny Goldstein, who is a veteran Broadway guy. He's directed a lot of shows, and he had written his first musical called Unknown Soldier and was looking for a new project. And he knew my music, and we had got breakfast together, and he said, let's write a musical. And I said, oh, I never thought about that before. And he said, what do you want to write about? And I had just read her memoir, and it really struck me, and I shared it with him, and he cried on the subway, and yeah, the rest is history.
You learned a lot. As you learned more about her, I understand you found a lot of parallels between her life and your own. What were those?
So many. Well, the obvious one right now is the hurricane moment. I guess the pandemic has been our big Hurricane Danielle and our story of trying to get this musical out in the world. We were supposed to have the world premiere this summer at Williamstown Music Festival, or I'm sorry, Williamstown Theater Festival, which is a very prestigious incubator for new theater, and that obviously didn't happen. So we're trying to regroup and figure out our next steps, but I was lucky to have the album ready to go, so.
And Tori herself, I mean, this adventure to cross the Atlantic, rowing a boat across the Atlantic, was one of many for her. I mean, talk about some of the other incredible achievements that she had already racked up.
Yeah, by the time she had the historic row, she had also become the first woman to the South Pole. There were actually two women on the expedition, but I think they planted their flag all at the same time. And she's also she's on the board of NOLS, the National Outdoor Leadership Society, and she's on the NCAA board. I mean, she's the president of the university. She has her Master's of Divinity from Harvard. She's also a lawyer. I mean,
yeah.
What can't she do?
Really? Well, and perhaps most incredible is what she couldn't do in 1998, and having gone two-thirds of the way, and then finally having to send up that Mayday message, that rescue message, you know, would have been a rough time for anybody. Talk about how she came out of it and her meeting with Muhammad Ali.
Well, the crazy part of the first row in 1998 was that she lost communication about 10 days in. So she spent 60-something days alone on the ocean with just her mind and her thoughts to entertain her. So that is very interesting for me as a songwriter. Your imagination can just go a little crazy there. But yeah, so she she pulled her EPIRB, which is emergency positioning beacon, radio beacon, and was rescued by a giant passing container ship, and came back to Louisville and was broke, publicly humiliated. You know, it had been a big press moment, and everyone was following her, and so she had to, you know, pick the pieces up and figure out what to do next. And then she gets approached by Muhammad Ali. Yeah, he was starting to put a team together to build a center in Louisville. And so he tapped her to do it. And he ended up being the one who kind of said, get back out there. You got to do this.
And one of the songs that you wrote for this, for the musical, speaks to that moment. And let's play the song Dear Heart and come back and talk a little bit more about that.
When I was out there, the ocean would hold me, rock me and throw me, light as a child. Now I'm so heavy, nothing consoles me, my mind floats like driftwood, wayward and wild. You can fall off the map, but don't fall apart.
Talking to Dawn Landis, that song is Dear Heart, and it is from the upcoming album. In fact, the album's been released. It's called Row, from the musical of the same name. It tells the story of the first woman to row solo across the Atlantic Ocean. And this, Dawn, is one of the first songs you wrote for the album, and this is the one you sang for Tori, right?
It is, yeah. Sort of like take someone's darkest moment and sing it to them.
And
see what happens.
And?
And she, she did. There were tissues nearby, and I think it was effective because she did say yes. So,
what is it like? You are not you're a singer-songwriter, as we said, but this is the first, you know, your attempt at musical theater. Was it categorically different to write that kind of music, or is that songwriting?
I mean, I think that's songwriting to some extent. You know, you put yourself in someone else's head and try to get a different perspective. There are characters for sure in my previous songs, but usually I'm the character. So this is definitely my first experience of writing from someone else's point of view. And not only Tori, but there are 10 characters in the show. So, you know, I got to write a song for Muhammad Ali to sing, and I got to write a song for her childhood crush, and a guy who helps her rebuild her boat, and eventually she proposes to and becomes her husband. And I mean, it's a fascinating story. I got to write one for Amelia Earhart, you know,
and her muse, the people who inspired her, singers especially, entertainers who Tina Turner and why am I spacing on the names now? Cher,
Dolly
Tina
Parton,
Turner, and Dolly Parton are among them. And the song "Row," the title song, in one way or another, helps to embody and bring those characters into the story. Let's listen to a little bit of "Row."
A girl's gotta do what a girl's gotta do. Call it a girl thing if you want to. Go out strapped into those rowing shoes.
A girl's gotta go where a girl's gotta go.
Don't wait around for permission. No, got ammunition. Come on, let's go.
Me. That's Row, the title song of the new album out today that tells the story of the first woman to row solo across the Atlantic. I'm talking with Dawn Landis, who is the singer-songwriter who's put that music together. And that, of course, in throughout that song, there are references to Cher, to Tina Turner and Dolly Parton. What was it like? What did you learn? I guess really what I want to understand is how Tori felt about these people and what part they played in her, you know, sort of character development.
Well, in her memoir, she mentions all of these singers. She also mentions Barbra Streisand, who has her own moment later. But they were just sources of inspiration. And, you know, in the show, my collaborator, Danny Goldstein, and I have these characters also exist in her real life. So they are kind of modeled after her real life friends that she rows with. She calls them her rowing sisters. And so when she's out on the ocean alone, they appear to her as diva versions of themselves in the form of Tina Turner, Dolly Parton, and Cher. But it's funny, we did a bunch of research because there's so much archival footage of Tori. And after the historic row in 1999, she was on Letterman and Oprah and all those things. And in her Oprah appearance, she talks about Tina Turner and how she got so much strength from her that she, you know, some days she would be fighting the current all day and would be rowing constantly, hours and hours and hours, and only progress feet. And it was those moments that she called on her muses. She called on Tina Turner.
And after all of that, and after all of those achievements, she went to divinity school. She went to Harvard Divinity School, right?
Yeah, actually, she went to divinity school before the row.
So this is all of these inspirations, again, which comes up musically in The Theology of Adventure. Let's hear a little bit of that.
I've been to Timbuktu, scaled mountains in the rain. 100 miles I walked the Serengeti Plain. I sat with tribal healers and I learned my spirit name. High in the mountains of the great Alaska range, I felt a sense of awe coming of age. I learned to mountaineer across Mount McKinley's glacial face. Some would say I'm lacking sense. In my defense, the unexamined life is not worth living. In my defense, to learn about survival and forgiving, I turn to the wilderness. In my defense, as you already know, I had to take my leave to join the South Pole expedition where I 750 miles and minus 40 degrees. The sheer audacity of this might make you smile. Harvard Divinity Field, study in the wild. But you can't fly feather bed down wisdom's lonely aisle.
Theology of Adventure from the album Row that comes out today. Dawn Landis wrote the music and the lyrics, North Carolina-based singer and songwriter. Dawn, this project has been 7.5 years in the making for you and was supposed to culminate in the world premiere of the musical at the Williamstown Theater Festival. Obviously, the coronavirus pandemic has changed those plans. What's in the works now? It's coming out on Audible, right? How does that work?
Yeah, okay, so the album came out today, and then we are working on a version of the show for Audible, which is really exciting because I don't think Audible has ever released a musical before. So this is new territory for everybody, especially now. It's very difficult to try to workshop music over Zoom.
Well, how's that going to, will it be, sir, is it the kind of a full-fledged production? I mean, obviously it won't be visual, but it will be fully-fledged,
yeah.
Not a stage reading, that's what I'm saying.
Exactly, yeah, we'll have the cast from Williamstown. We'll have a sound designer and an orchestrator and all of everything, and there's a director.
What about the album itself? As you say, the album Row is going to be released today. Again, in these days, how do you get the word out about that?
Good question. I definitely can't play a show, but we're actually going to do a listening party this afternoon on YouTube, which is a new thing where you have, you know, the lyrics and a live interview with over Zoom and chatting with folks in the comments. So if anyone is on YouTube at 3 o'clock this afternoon, and then it'll be up for, I think, the weekend, you can check it out.
All right, great. And the whole show, the play itself, is going to be on Audible. Dawn Landis is my guest, a North Carolina-based singer and songwriter. The album is Row. It's out today. Dawn, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
You can find out more about the show at our website, stateofthings.org. The State of Things is produced by Anita Rao, Amanda Magnus, Grant Hullab-Mormon, Kaya Finlay, and Stacia Brown. Elikam Dodor is our intern, Jenny Lawson, our technical director. North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stacia. Here's more music from the musical Row.
The best things of mankind are as useless as Amelia Earhart's adventure. They're the things that are undertaken not for some measurable result, but because someone, not counting the cost or calculating the consequences, is moved by curiosity, the love of excellence, a point of honor, the compulsion to make or to understand.
They have in them the free and useless energy with which alone they surpass themselves.
It is wild, and it is free.
But all the heroes, the saints and the seers, the explorers and the creators partake of it. They do not know what they discover. They do not know where their impulse is taking them. They can give no account in advance of where they are going or explain completely where they have been.
They do the useless, brave, noble, the divinely foolish, and the very wisest things done by man. And what they prove to themselves and to others is that we are no mere creatures of habit. No mere time.